love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
Live James Brown. Cause he just got dumped down. I ain't even lying. Cause he just got dumped down. Yep, yep, he was standing in the way. So I jumped up in the air and I dumped it on his face.
Alex.
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
And Dave.
You put the bomb on? Who told you to put the bomb on? I didn't tell you to put the bomb on. Why'd you put the bomb on? You haven't even been to see the doctor. If you're going to put a bomb on, let a doctor put a bomb on.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to episode 138 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of April 6th, 2016. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dave and Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm aight.
And Dave.
Good.
All right, let's go into our first segment. As always, the lightning round.
Isn't news usually the first thing?
Oh, you're right. Hold on. The music had another thing in mind. You're right.
The thing is, if you didn't say as always, I wouldn't have noticed.
And the thing is, we don't always do it either. Sometimes we'll have no news and we'll go straight into the lightning round. Oh, well.
As sometimes. Yeah, you gotta fix your spiel now.
We took the week off and I'm a little rusty now.
I got you.
All right. As always, news. All right. We have actually comic book news. Unlike last week where we kind of had stuff that, you know, attention-grabbing headlines, and then you read the story and there's nothing there. This week we had actual some real substantive news stories. The first of which being a Doom Patrol title being announced by Gerard Way. But here's the catch. Here's the hook, if you will. They're giving him his own imprint.
Maybe it's because he's a prima donna rock star and demanded. No, we looked this up because I said I think he's written a comic and there was disagreement and we looked it up. Not only has he written a comic, he's written an Eisner Award winning comic and he can apparently draw too. So
the comic that he wrote that was the one in Eisner.
Umbrella something.
Academy.
Yeah, it won Best Limited Series at the Eisners. So, I mean, that indicates he has some talent outside of music, which debatable whether or not he has talent.
That's debatable. I was like, don't tell me his qualifications writing a comic book because he put Grant Morrison in a music video.
No, he actually wrote a comic that did well.
Okay, it's more like it. But it is odd they're giving him his own...
I like that he has had some positive critical acclaim because I'm a big fan of the Doom Patrol and they haven't been done right in years. The only thing that concerns me is knowing his taste. He's a Grant Morrison fan. Grant Morrison, shockingly for everyone who listens, probably wrote my favorite run on Doom Patrol. So if he tries to like crib off that, it could not be good. Doom Patrol was a weird book where they were just like generic superhero team. And then they gave it to younger Grant Morrison and he made it fucking completely batshit insane. And it was kind of great. And then for a little bit, they tried to have writers follow him with it. And it worked out sort of like when Morrison did that amazing Animal Man run and then they put Peter Milligan on it. And this wasn't Peter Milligan at his best. It was Peter Milligan, like, I'm going to do lots of really weird shit, but it doesn't fit together like Grant Morrison's really weird shit. It's just going to be really weird. And the book took a fucking giant dive to shit. So
that's a lot of books that Morrison's put on and then leaves.
Yeah, like people take over and it's just... That's like, I always rip on Joss Whedon for doing Astonishing X-Men, but at least it was different from what Morrison did. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nothing like it. So, you know, that was good, I guess.
But that's not always a good thing. Like, Remainder, when he got put on Cap, he was following Brubaker, and I understand to a degree there's no following that, but you fall up the Brubaker run with what he did, and it's like,
But he couldn't... Brubaker's run kind of revitalized that character, and you couldn't do the same thing. Like, it was so good, you actually couldn't do the same thing because it would never be as good. So that one, like, while it didn't, I mean, I think Marvel liked it, or Dave, sorry, still getting used to that.
It's fine.
Yeah, I think he liked it. We didn't like it, but, you know, people probably liked it.
Like what now?
When Remainder wrote Cap.
Oh, yeah, I liked it.
Following Brubaker's around, I was saying you couldn't have done the same thing. He had to do something different.
But to go that off the reservation, I'm just like,
Dude, hanging out with little kids on Dimension Z.
With little girls?
With little girls on Dimension Z who grow up and...
Painting.
I don't know, is that character still around?
And waxing poetic. No, remember...
They showed him very briefly, or mentioned him very briefly in a comic book in the past month. I do know
wasn't
that.
Wasn't his name Ian?
Yes.
It's a fucking pussy's name. Ian. Come on, wasn't that the dork in Ghostbusters?
I believe so.
No, that was Egon.
That doesn't help his sister name with Jet Black.
Jet Black? Oh, fuck. Let's not talk about that.
That's a show unto itself. Okay, our next news story. DC is launching a 12-issue series in sort of in the spirit of the 1985 DC challenge called the Commandy Challenge. Now, this book is going to be done by 12... Oh, actually, I'm looking at this. It's 13 different teams. So it's going to be an interconnecting book with different creative teams, but... They're still telling an interconnecting story. It may not be verbatim one story, but it's going to be an interconnecting story.
Yeah, and that's why it's interesting. The other interesting thing is the choice of Commandy, because I'm pretty sure Fat Man had no idea of, Tony had no idea of the fucking existence of this character.
Yeah,
it's not exactly an A-lister. Marvel might have known who he was, but.
Jack Kirby.
It was Jack Kirby, but Jack Kirby made a lot of fucking characters for DC. So, I mean, you could technically say, I mean, aside from Darkseid, this might have been one of his most lasting characters, just because he pops up every once in a while. But you know, he's not on the DC universe, not really, or he's really far in the future. So. But I'm interested because, you know, like, they got Tom King doing an issue and stuff, and that's cool.
They got
cool.
Rick Pack. They have Walter Simonson, Gail Simone, Lian Wayne.
Yeah, it's funny that they do all these relaunches and they have fucking J.T. Kroll still writing comics, but then for that Commandy challenge, we'll get the fucking A-list creative team on, because that's important.
At least they're trying. That's the one thing I always ripped on DC. It seemed like they were just phoning it in. They thought maybe they could get away with just having, you know, big name characters and then like having nobody. They have nobody doing creative and they wondered why that news story, I think a couple months back, that Marvel was doubling DC sales.
Yeah, they have been putting effort forward. I mean, they're doing a new imprint for fucking Gerard Way, because apparently he's the biggest name on earth. You know what? He has some cachet outside comics. That's fine. And they relaunched Vertigo, and that's been going very well. DC Rebirth is more of a reorganization, but you know, it's something. You know, Tom King's going to be writing fucking Batman.
That's going to be awesome.
With Finch doing art, which is the bomb. So
the bomb.com. You know,
yeah, they are actually trying. They're making up for some of the sins of the past.
All right, in our final news story, we had some announced titles from the Image Expo, and of course, I'm referring to Image Publishing. I scanned a lot of these, and some of them, like, I've never heard of this writer, I've never heard of this creative.
I should probably look at this.
Yeah,
Do you have a link to the story? I want to see the new titles.
Yeah, sure, no problem. In fact, you guys would probably be better suited for something like this, because, I pitched this story to you, and you guys were cool with it, but, you know, really, I'm still the newbie here, so I'm not familiar with a lot of these names. The only names that really stuck out were Jonathan Hickman apparently is writing another comic book that won't come out in time, and Rick Remainder is also attached to another book.
Okay, let me see here.
Yeah, Jonathan Hickman will be writing the Black Monday Murders. He has Tom Coker as his artist on that. And let's see who else he has. We have Remainder on another book. Let's see if I can find that very quickly. Yeah, apparently they're just comic book. Here's another one I missed. Kill or Be Killed by Ed Brubaker. That should be good.
Hey, there's a book I'm going to be reading. I don't even care what it's about.
What is it? The Brubaker.
No, I said that. I don't care what it's about. It's Brubaker, and it has the word kill in it, so.
Well, it's funny. There's a bunch of Brubaker books out there, but I guess they came out before we started doing this show, so we never actually picked it up. Ooh, here's a good one. The Remainder series is called 7 to Eternity. It's by Rick Remainder, and here's the artist, Jerome Opeña.
Ooh, that's good.
That's what I said. Yeah. But then
I'm trying to look at the full list to see if there's any, like, names that...
So I'm reading some of the premises. That thing called a FAR sounds kind of cool.
My only thing with when putting Opeña on a book, does that mean it's going to take forever for this book to come out? Because he's a great artist. He's a fantastic artist. He's one of the best in the business, but he works very slowly. He often just does covers.
Oh, my God. I hate Windows 10. It's not true. I like Windows 10, but I fucking tried to follow your link, and it opens up in
Explorer.
Fucking Microsoft Edge. I don't even know what that is.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I just want to look at the fucking... Okay, maybe I'll right-click and I'll open and... No, it's not working.
Horizon sounds kind of cool.
What is it?
Who's that by?
Brandon Thomas, artist Juan Gideon.
No idea, but I'm horrible with names anyway. Yeah, I can't even fucking see these. There's probably like a huge name doing something and I can't look at it.
And so, as the gimmick with this show that we always do, we tend to always read number ones from Image. So chances are we're going to read most of now all of these titles.
What if they all come out in 1 month?
Well, I doubt that. I'll definitely do that.
I don't read that many books.
Yeah, but they're Image books and, you know, they more often.
Doesn't Remainder have like 5 books coming out from Image and I don't read any of them? Yeah, I read Low for a while. That was good.
Me and Dave read, Deadly Class. Yeah. That's a great book. Tokyo Ghost is fantastic.
How many fucking books does he need?
Well, he's writing for Image, so I imagine a lot. He can afford to write a lot more.
Ooh, this Lake of Fire sounds kind of cool. It's set in 1220 AD. Crusades and stuff.
Well, that's different. Well, it's not actually. Wasn't fucking, didn't Rob Liefeld do that book? Wasn't that?
No, that wasn't the 13th century. That was like freaking BC era.
Oh, okay. I was just checking. Fucking
Rob. Oh, as Azzarello is doing a book.
Ooh, right? What is it?
It's called Moonshine. It's set during the Prohibition era.
Nice. I'll read that.
Yeah, that's a name. See, you missed that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm still a newbie here, so cut me some slack.
What else is here? I'm kind of excited. I'm like, oh, a lot of cool new shit coming out.
Well, I like when new books come out.
Yeah. There's some book about spies and ballerinas.
That's
premise.
Like Black Widow?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering what spot inspired that.
Well, they don't really seem to go together, spies and ballerinas. Oh, hey.
Oh, some of these aren't really new because there's something called Prince of Cats. Apparently it was first released from Vertigo in 2012. But it's getting, I guess, re-released here in a Romeo and Juliet alternate universe title.
Wasn't that a Miyazaki movie?
No, that's like.
Didn't he have a movie about? Yeah, but it was like about the Prince of Cats from the Cat World.
Meow meow meow.
That was a fucking weird movie. It's good though.
Romulus.
Leave it to you to read a book about cats or watch anime about cats.
It wasn't about cats. He was like a cat in a suit, and he like walked around.
He's anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a furry movie before there were furries.
Well, that, you're not helping your case there, homie.
The Seven to Eternity. I like the cover. That's like a nice ass cover.
Well, yeah. We'll read some of these books.
Is this supposed to be like the Seven Samurai or something?
It looks awesome. I'm not complaining. The guy, the guy on the blue looking guy looks like Zorn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Marvel, we observe American stuff here, so it's not Seven Samurai, it's fucking Magnificent Seven. And they have guns. Same movie. You guys ever seen that?
No.
It's seriously Seven Samurai, but it's a Western.
Okay, I'm done looking at these.
Same movie.
So yeah. some interesting stuff to look forward to from both DC and Image going forward. So.
Yeah, we'll completely forget about this, and then we'll notice there are new Image books in a couple months. Yeah, and say, oh, we should read that.
Oh, this is the first time. Oh, no, I'll remember and you guys will forget. Like,
oh, Hickman's writing a book. Oh, we should try it.
It's like, I told you guys, April 6th. And of course, I'll be too lazy to pull it up.
Yeah, that's so it's coming out in like 2 weeks.
So, yeah, there you go.
Not all of them.
All right, let's move on to our next segment, the lightning round.
Danger, danger. High voltage. Oh, when we touch, when we get. When we touch, when we get.
This week's lightning round consists of Uncanny Avengers, Black Widow, and Iron Man. Dave, do you have any preference before we start this?
Yeah, we could do Iron Man, I guess, first.
Okay. This is the book I didn't want to read, but after I read it and read so quick, I was like, eh, why not?
Yeah, it was a quick read. It was more of a filler issue.
Bendis doing a filler issue?
Yeah.
Don't say.
Well, yeah. It's on a singles title though, so that's different.
Yeah. Tony Stark and Spider-Man, they show up to help Rhodey because remember he's fighting some,
ninjas
and some giant robot thing. And the giant robot thing kind of has them beat. There's an explosion at the end. So are they, it has that to be continued with a question mark. And also it shows Mary Jane not wanting to be Tony's assistant after he fled to, Japan. But I already saw, solicitation. She's going to get a suit or something. And
yeah, she gets the Iron Spider suit.
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but.
Well, it could be just one of those gimmicks where it's just the cover and then you read the book and that's never brought up in the.
Well, maybe it just happens for that one issue and then that's it.
Yeah. The peak for this book for me was, when Spider-Man brought up, you know, cause Iron Man has a new suit, does all these cool things. And then Peter says, oh, my costume, well, the spider lights up for no reason.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know, and he goes, yeah, the spider on my chest lights up now for no reason, and I don't know why exactly, but.
Yeah, so that was the peak of that book. I'm glad we, you know, it wasn't offensive, so I'm like, I'll read it. And
it read quick. That was the thing.
Yeah, okay. Next book, Black Widow, another book that read kind of quick. Not as quick as the first issue where there was literally almost no dialogue, but.
No, they set up a plot for the series going forward, pretty much. We have a villain.
Yes.
What's his name? The Pale Weeping Lion or
Weeping Lion.
The Weeping Lion. Yeah, he's a guy who wears a fucking fur thing around his neck.
He's got a mask.
Thanks. Yeah.
Basically, he kidnaps her and he shows her some physical documents for her to look through. And apparently there's some really secret shit that she never wants anyone to be revealed to anyone. She's like, this shouldn't exist.
So she's going to have a match in a cage with Undertaker.
Yeah.
He said to she needs to retrieve something for him, or he's going to expose the truth and share the information with everybody. And that's what happened in the first issue. She stole some shit from the helicarrier.
Yeah, no, this was good. The action was good again. They're a really good team. It's just with the pace it's moving at, how often is this going to be lightning round? Very often.
Yeah, it's a very fast paced book.
Yeah, it's good though.
It's Wade, so we're gonna keep reading it, but with that said, yeah, it's one of these books to where we read it really quick, and it's not bad, but it's like, it's gonna be lightning round fodder for foreseeable future.
Yeah, until something pops.
And our final lightning round title, Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah, everything that happened in this issue was, in the last issue, remember the team, they were, captured by the girl who was a Cosmic Cube, and she gave them new identities. Well, in this issue, Rogue is able to figure out that they're living fake lives because she's remembering some sort of psychic training from Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
So she figures out that she's Rogue and she recruits the rest of her team and helps them to figure out that they're, you know, living fake lives.
I thought that this book, which has been getting better, I thought this was the best issue of it, and I thought this was the best issue of any comic with this Pleasant Hill we've had that took place in Pleasant Hill.
You know, it's funny. I read the reviews for this book. No one seems to like this book at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because I think it's just been getting better and better.
You go to Comic Book Roundup, it's like, I think the highest rating they've ever given this book is like a 7.
They might be, the highest rating I would give it is a 7. But
yeah.
The first issue, I gave a 1.
It had a big hole, dude.
But I'm saying all the issues. Of all the issues. They're all like 4s and 3s and 4s, 5s.
It's funny, I'm continuing reading this book. I'm sort of like Comic Book Roundup where I'm on the fence, but I know at some point it's going to pay off because I remember all that stuff they did with Hank Pym and Ultron, so I'm looking forward to that.
I don't care about that. I like the story where it's at right now. I like that they actually do something with all the characters. Found it a little weird that Deadpool had like a super serious moment.
Oh yeah, when he finally had it with people making the jokes about him being on the Avengers.
And he said, Rogers put him on the team, and he said it's to remind them that not everyone is a god. Which
was that Xavier at the end?
No, Xavier isn't really there. So the training Xavier gave Rogue was that
the guy with the piano?
I thought that was Vision.
No, that was Vision.
Oh, okay, that's why I'm confused.
Yeah, because he had the weird. They indicated it by the weird text bubbles.
And also because she said that he was playing the piano, but he was playing it like almost too good.
Oh, I also liked that fucking Cable's missing his arm through the whole issue because he can't walk around Pleasant Hill with a metal arm. And he's at one point he's like, okay, we got to find out where they put my arm. That was good. And then Cubic, the cosmic cube, showed up at the end. She's like, you sillies. I have to put you to sleep again.
Yeah,
now.
You're not supposed to remember.
Yeah, and now the Avengers and the all new, all different Avengers. I don't know what the fuck we're called, or the Urban Event, the Young Urban Avengers.
There's the Unity Squad and just the Avengers.
Yeah, I know, but Deadpool called them like the Young Urban Avengers, which is a good description of them. Actually, they're gonna team up and fight a cosmic cube, which
good luck with that.
Won't go well.
No, I'd imagine it probably won't go very well. All right. With lightning round out of the way, let's go into this week's books. Go. That is from Mega Man X3, Blizzard Buffalo. I called an audible on that. I forgot to tell you it was your week this week, Alex.
I'll do it next week.
And I even thought of something better that we haven't used yet. I'm like, oh wait, maybe we have used it. I'll tell you. I'll pull a Dave and I'll tell you guys offline.
Okay.
There's a ton of video game music. Just so you know, next week I'm picking something from Donkey Kong Country.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was the best part of that game was the music.
Awesome. All right, let's go into this week's books, which include Archie Issue 7, Sheriff of Babylon 5, Swamp Thing 4, Gold Key Alliance 1, Discipline 2, The Fix, Walking Dead 153, Black Panther 1, Empress 1, Iron Man 8 we already did, New Avengers 9, Old Man Logan 4, Scarlet Witch 5, Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man 29 Issue 9, Star Wars Poe Dameron Issue 1, Vision 6, and Ninjak 14.
There were a lot of good books.
Yeah, well, and a lot of books I openly declined to not read this week. So let's start off with a book that I'm sure we all read, Archie Issue 7, writer Mark Waid, art by Veronica Fish.
I love this issue.
This is really good. They solved the Reggie problem very quickly because it only turned into a problem in the last issue.
Yeah, in the last issue, Reggie told Veronica's dad that Archie was responsible for wrecking the construction site. And so this issue, they're wondering how Reggie found out. Because, Veronica told Archie. So, Archie's trying to, get back at him. So, he's trying to come up with a plan. He goes to Pop's burger joint. And apparently he's, this wise sage who keeps all the secrets and gossip and rumors
because there's not a lot going on in Riverdale.
Yeah.
But everybody goes into Pops, and they all talk, so he hears everything they say.
He's like this wise old man. He's like, I can't tell anybody.
He's like, you want to know why everybody tells me everything? Because I don't tell anybody.
it's very good sound reasoning.
and so, even and later on, he gives, he points Archie in the right direction. He's all, I'm not telling you anything.
Well, because he knows Reggie's a piece of shit.
Yeah, but
he doesn't outright say so. You know what he is? He's like the Watcher.
Yeah, but he's not as bad as the Watcher. The Watcher would just fucking come flat out and tell Archie.
Yeah, but sometimes the Watcher, longest time, He wouldn't like say stuff, but he would point you in the right direction.
They killed the Watcher because his gimmick was he couldn't do anything, but he was constantly getting fucking involved. That's why they killed him. Because he killed the gimmick.
Yeah, so he led him to say, like, whoa, how do you think he got this connection? It was from his dad works for the newspaper, you know?
He's like, how do you think he found out this information? And then Archie deduces it. He's like, and then after he's leaving, well, remember, I didn't say nothing.
His dad's a prick, too.
Yeah, so he tries to get a job at Reggie's dad's newspaper.
But it goes the way all Archie's jobs go.
Yes.
He fucked everything up in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but he did find some weird secret file, but he was like, no, I can't steal, I can't go that far.
Yeah, because Reggie had a record, and I guess his dad was getting expunged, because I guess the police who gave him the record gave him the only copy. So he's like, okay, and, well, this thing's going to be wiped off his record.
And Archie in this book will speak to the audience, and he actually had a moral debate with the reader during the point when he was going to steal this, like, not a bad guy. This is something a bad guy would do, but Reggie's a bad guy, so maybe I should do it. And it is cute. This whole book's very cute.
Yeah, he went back to Pops, all depressed. And then he hit his face in shame. But then Reggie and his dad showed up. And Pop kind of like helped out Archie. He was like, hey, Reggie, are you sure you want to work for Lodge? He's like, I'm practically family now. And he's like, well, that's probably because he hasn't heard about it. And then he kind of whispers some stuff.
And, of course, there was this little meta part. Wait, are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I think I'm messing with the stuff here. But there was this one little meta scene where it's like, oh, hashtag, what did Reggie do? And, of course, I decided to, you know, have fun with this with our official Twitter, twitter.com/acomicbookpodcast, and I put, butt stuff?
Yeah, he wouldn't want people to know about that. Not in Riverdale.
I don't see this on Twitter, by the way. I was looking for it.
Because I did it at RG Comics.
I don't... Oh, okay. Tweets and replies.
Yeah, yeah. I got confident on the fun, too. And Coughlin chimes in, and Kanye denies.
Well, anyways, he was like basically telling him about, well, it's only a matter of time before he finds out. So Reggie's all depressed. He tells Lodge to suck it, and then he got fired.
Yep.
So, yeah, I wonder what he did.
It's going to be one of those things to where, supposedly this is how the lipstick incident came about, too. They went to the readers.
They'll tell us then, because we already know they reveal everything.
Yeah, so that's good. All right, let's move on to our next section, our DC Vertigo section. Let's start with Sheriff of Babylon, number 5, writer Tom King, art by Mitch Gerards.
This is such a good issue, and it was just two people talking.
Yes.
For the whole thing. Yeah, Christopher.
And Fatima.
He gets drunk with
Fatima.
Fatima, yeah, the
Azir's wife.
Detective's wife. And she's not a very good Muslim.
No.
So she went and got drunk with him, and they talked. Like, he talked about why he came to Iraq. He met one of the guys who apparently flew one of the planes during 9/11.
Yeah, he was a cop in San Diego, and I guess he got some tip about him from some people, but he didn't find anything, you know, like anything that he could report.
He was threatening people, but there was nothing to it, so he let him go. So he obviously had issues with that, as you would. Although, in defense of him, there were a lot of fucking terrorists on those planes, so, you know, he shouldn't feel that bad about it. And she talked about how she, you know, they were talking about how, you know, people who watched, you know, 9/11 happen in that area, like, some of them were celebrating.
Yeah, but her husband was smart. He's like, no, this is only going to bring us trouble.
Yeah, because they're going to come here now. And, like, she didn't like Saddam Hussein. She didn't like him at all. She wanted him to go. But she said her problem with it was because of Saddam Hussein, because of America, and they were blockading, she couldn't get fucking batteries.
Yeah, so she was kind of happy that happened. It's like, oh, because she had, you know, she didn't have batteries because of the embargo. She's like, oh, fuck them then. Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole point of it was, it's like, She wasn't celebrating that there was going to be a war. She was just thinking about her point was she was thinking about her own personal shit. like, which I made this argument so many times. People aren't constantly thinking about the big picture. They're thinking about the things that directly affect their lives at that point. So she's just happy because she's like, yeah, fucking A, America got shit on and they're the reason I can't get batteries. Such a simple thing, but you know, she teaches them some word in Arabic and
yeah, it means, shukran.
Yeah. And it means,
thank you.
Thank you. And, but it can also mean goodbye.
I've always heard it as you, but maybe it is used.
It's one of those, well, it's a different language and like our, you know, in English, we have words that it's the same word, but it has different meanings and
aloha.
Presumably they have the same shit. So that was cool. No, it was a really, really well done issue though. It was kind of low key, but yeah,
they were in that bombed pool. Remember he had that little treasure thing that somebody gave him?
He got drunk and he showed her the thing he got, which he believes somebody stole out of one of the museums, and it did look like an old, like, you know, an old sculpture, but he was worried he was going to get caught with it. So he buried it in the bombed out pool. And then she ended up just fucking throwing the thing in.
Yeah, it was basically, she was like, oh, this is some pagan stuff from, you know, thousands of years ago, but there's only one God and Muhammad is his prophet, so she just tossed it.
She tossed it, and then a fucking cat came up and started chewing on it.
Yeah.
No, it was a very, very good issue, though, because we didn't really get much on her character, because she's just, you know, the wife of Nazir, who is the important character. Nazir spent this entire issue fucking sleeping and snoring. Whereas she was the one who went and got drunk with him, and we got more into his character, and we got a lot into her character, and that's what it was. It was a strong character issue with not a lot of plot moving forward, but just some fleshing out of the characters so that when they do something now, it'll make more sense to us because we understand them better. Very good.
Okay. Yep. Next book, Swamp Thing number 4. Writer Len Wein, am I pronouncing that right? I remember you guys corrected me before.
It's either that or Wayne.
Oh, okay. And art by Kelly Jones.
Yeah, I didn't read this.
what was your excuse?
No. The series is fine. It's just I know that it so doesn't matter, and I've determined it's never going to be more than fine. So I just didn't read it.
There's only 2 issues left.
Yeah, I know, but is anything like is this going to be better than any Alan Moore Swamp Thing? No, so I'm not going to read
still
it.
Still good though.
It's all right.
And there's no Alan Moore Swamp Things coming out anytime soon, so.
No, but I could read the old.
Well, it's like to me, if you're going to apply that logic, then we should never read Cap again. We should never read Fantastic Four again. We should never read
because Cap's again. Different though. See, that's the thing. It's different. This is different, but in a way, I don't. Like, it's more traditional, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But one of the drawbacks of it being more traditional is it's much simpler. And as you know, I'm not often a huge fan of simple comics. Uncanny, I like a little more meat.
Uncanny Avengers was pretty simple. You like that?
No, because it did, it explained in a natural way why Rogue was able to fight off the mind control, whereas in the other issues, when they broke the mind control, it was like, oh, like a character would suddenly realize, oh, this isn't right, but there was no reason behind it. This gave the actual reason behind it and showed all of it and gave some background to the character.
I'm going to say, you can't use that logic to compare to this book when you didn't even read this issue.
Well, I didn't, but I read the first three, and that's obviously – what led me to not read this was based on the previous 3 issues I read, not...
Yeah, I keep dancing around it.
No, I just explained it. The previous 3 issues I read caused me to not read this.
Oh, God, I love this.
Oh, anyways, in this issue, Alec Conlon is no longer a Swamp Thing. He swapped with Matt Cable after they used the hand of Fatima. Alec teaches Matt how to be Swamp Thing for a while. This ends with Matt killing a poacher in the swamp, and he takes Alec with him into town. His motivation is that he's disgruntled after losing his job as a cop, and he wants to police the world.
And here's the thing, he's upset because he was supposed to be working security on Alec when he was working in the lab, and because what happened, he wound up getting fired from his police position. So it was kind of a wacky, you know, I don't know what the phrase is. It's just
motivation.
What's that?
Motivation.
I guess, but it's just funny because the reason why he became Swamp Thing is the reason why he got fired in the first place. Just one of those wacky little things. But I thought this was a good book. And of course, he's obviously abusing the power of Swamp Thing. So it's one of those things, you know, this is what issue 4. I think, you know, and it's going on issue 6. So yeah. It's one of those things they're probably going to wrap up pretty quick.
I wonder. So yeah, I mean, I imagine he's going to have to go back to being Swamp Thing somehow.
Yeah. I mean, if he was handling, his friend was handling it a bit better, you could maybe kind of see how they could keep it on him. But the way he's abusing the power, you know, Alex is eventually going to get the Swamp Thing power back.
Yeah, I like that part where he turned human, and Zatanna was like, isn't there something you've wanted to do?
Yeah!
You know, because you weren't human? He's like, yeah, there is. And he was like, I wanted a stack of pancakes. And it's funny, there was a scene where she got all naked, and then he's all like, whoop.
He's all, camp pigs? What? Yeah, that was a great little scene. All right, next book from Dynamite, Gold Key Alliance number 1. Writer Phil Hester, art by Brent Peoples. Alex, did you read this book?
Wait, what book?
Gold Key Alliance.
Yes, I did. Weren't we going to lightning around this?
I guess we weren't too clear on that. Okay.
I wanted to lightning around this because this was, it was actually smart how they did it. So their thinking in this obviously was they're going to put all these characters, the old Gold Key characters that they published books for, together in some way. But in the event that you haven't read any of their books, and I haven't, the only book of theirs I've read is the Turok book. I read the first couple issues of, liked it, by the way. This was like a mini introduction to all the characters. Like, you had about 3 pages per character just to introduce them. And then at the end, we got the villain, and that was this entire issue. This is very much a first issue of a book. There's no formation of a team yet. There's not really any reason for them to work together yet. And I wasn't entirely clear they're all existing in the same world.
Yeah, neither was I.
Because, you know, and what I know about the characters, this is true to all of them, but it was also separate because they had to say, okay, this is Turok, this is Magnus, this is, you know, whoever, that it never came together in this issue. It'll probably come together in the next one. This is a perfectly serviceable first issue. It wasn't much more than that, though.
And isn't that what I said? If this book is just okay, then I'm probably not going to pick it up again.
Yeah, I'm probably going to read the next issue just because it's got enough different characters that I want to see what they actually do with it. But, you know, I came out of this thinking, oh, Magnus is kind of cool. That's different.
I'm like, this read is just the most, I don't want to say the most generic, but it was a very introduction to the character, but at the same time wasn't, you know, at the end of this I wasn't, oh, I gotta read issue 2 now, and this is only going 4 issues, so. Unless they're just using this to introduce all the characters to us, and eventually down the road we're gonna get a regular book.
Well, I think that's what they're doing. It's the only thing I can't quite parse is I thought the Turok stuff was the most interesting, but is that because Turok is the only character I really know?
No, Samson. Everybody knows Samson.
Well, yeah, but he's not a comic character, really.
But I'm saying that's another character where you know their shtick, but at the same time you weren't really.
Yeah.
I'm not planning to read more about Samson, whereas if they made just a Turok book, I'd be like, eh, okay.
But to be fair, I did like the Magnus part where he's walking around, you know, he punches robots, that's what he does, and he determines that this partner he has is actually a robot and ends up punching her head off. that was actually kind of cool, but again, how do you bring all this together?
Like, yeah, I know.
Because it's all so entirely separate. I mean, obviously the villain with the fancy gun is going to have something to do with it, but it was still, you know, it was weird. And I want to read it to see how they actually bring them together. If they do, which it's called Alliance, so they're going to have to get together.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the name means nothing. The title is a lie. It could be.
I sincerely doubt it will.
Yeah. I'll find out. Okay. You won't.
Speaking of books that are weird, From Image, we have Discipline number 2, writer Peter Milligan, art by Leonardo Fernandez.
This ended with us not knowing who the bad guys are.
Nope. I was so sure the guy that Melissa was hooking up with, I thought he was the bad guy, and that the red demon-looking guy was our protagonist. Eventually, she was going to team up with Melissa, or Melissa was going to team up with this guy, and she was going to get away from this other dude, but in this book, he killed somebody.
Yeah, and they also, when they're fighting demon guy, he basically gives out a big long spiel about how, no, the discipline are the bad ones. Everything they've told you is a lie. They're the reason I look like this. And you can't trust them. And it's like, well, he would say that because he was going to die, but he could be telling the truth because we really don't know all that much about him or his group. So.
Ooh, considering Dave dropped from the last issue from some of the sex stuff, I guarantee you he's probably better off not reading issue 2.
Oh yeah, he definitely.
There was a lot more stuff, Dave.
There was a lot more, but they did give reason behind it. Apparently the reason he has to sleep with her is there's some seduction ritual that has all these steps to it, and she has to make it through all the steps to join the discipline. And most of the people he's tried to get to join have failed. Mm-hmm. Although a part of that is because, you know, the last one's fucking dead. But he said they're dead because the demon-looking people killed her.
Yes.
But the demon-looking people may be good guys, and they killed her because she's bad, because she's working for them.
Hell, so, if I know.
Yeah, so it actually left with a decent cliffhanger because you want to know. And I don't know. The thing is, I don't know how quickly they can resolve that.
Yeah.
They brought up a lot of stuff. Like, she's like, Orlando, the guy, he ends up looking like one of the green alien dudes we saw in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in this issue, she looked like one.
There also, were instances where she got upset. She got upset at her husband.
She tried to rape her husband.
Yeah.
Which, her husband, by the way, giant pussy, where he's like crying. He's like, get out of here. Like, fuck you, you pussy. Bang your wife.
And then she goes to a bar just to hang out, and the guy's trying to make the moves on her, and she gets the green eyes.
Oh, she gives him the fucking death stare, too. And he's like, all right, never mind. He had the lamest pickup line ever. He's like, oh, drinking alone in the city. So am I. Maybe we should. Fuck you, dude. That's horrible. No, I like this, and I like that it leaves on a, you know, gives you a question, because I'm a big fan of books that give me a reason to read the next book. Like, if you're ending a storyline and you know the next storyline is going to start, that works. But sometimes you read a comic and it just kind of ends. Walking Dead actually does this a lot, where it'll just kind of end and you're like, okay.
Yeah, a lot of Image books do that. They just assume you're going to stick around, because I guess they a lot of their business is from graphic novel sales. But as a person who reads monthlies, it's like sometimes I'll read a book and I'm like, that's the way you're going to end it, just in the middle of a scene. And that's fine and all, because like I said, most people are going to buy the graphic novel. But that kind of punishes me. And more often than not, there'll be books that I want to read, and I'll read issue 1 and 2, and I'll be like, eh, whatever, I'm never reading this again. And then I hear all this buzz about the book later on. They're maybe like 6-7 issues in. I was like, well, they didn't give me a reason to keep reading the book. And I'm glad a lot of you people stuck with it, or maybe you picked up the graphic novel. But for me, I'm just like, well, my interest didn't continue because they gave me no reason to continue reading.
Yeah.
You brought up Walking Dead, so let's talk it right now. Walking Dead 153, writer Robert Kirkman, art by Charlie Adlard.
Negan killed the kid and appears to be walking back, which is exactly what I said was going to happen.
Well, he's walking into the Whisperer territory.
Wasn't he walking away from it? They had the barrier set up, and he was walking away from.
I have my iPad right now. I can check.
he was walking away from the panel, but he might have already crossed the border because they had, you know, the stakes up to mark their border where they put all the people they killed. He might have been walking through it.
Yeah, he's walking through towards the Whisperer territory, because if you look at the last panel, you see the roofs of the houses, and in the view where they were approaching the border, you can see houses in the distance. So yeah, he's walking into the Whisperer territory.
Okay, but we don't know what he's gonna do. We just know he's pissed at Rick. And
maybe he's gonna kill the Alpha and
to try to get some cred with Rick.
Because remember how Alpha, she says that leadership can be challenged. Maybe he'll challenge her, and he'll rule the Whisperers. Maybe.
I don't think Negan's gonna be cool with wearing dead fucking.
Well, I mean, as a leader, he could just be fuck you because I'm sure there's people in that group that don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, because he's a crazy asshole, but he's not crazy in the I'm gonna wear fucking zombie skin and be an animal way. Like he's still a human being.
He's also kind of smart. He's not.
Yeah. he's like evil smart. Like,
yeah. He's kind of like a Joker kind of. Not that crazy, but
he's not that crazy though, but yeah, kind of. Cause you don't always know why he's doing what he's doing, but he usually has an idea behind it that I was going to compare him to John Flood.
Nice.
Except not as smart, but. You know, I guess Joker is a better comparison since, you know, people actually read books with him in it.
You know, the Walking Dead comic is finally revealing his backstory.
Is it really going to be that interesting?
48 pages, and it's called, I think it's a one shot. It's called Here's Negan.
I'll read it. But.
It's, will be available April 27th.
Hmm.
Was that Vaughn series supposed to come out?
I don't know. I remember that being announced a long time ago. I don't know when that's supposed to be.
Whenever he's done with the Whisperer storyline, maybe.
I'm looking for a reason to read Walking Dead, and that's a reason as any.
I'm sure it'll be eventually.
There, what issue 153? This was it. Let me check.
175. We had a copper even.
If you go to the Wikia, they'll have. They'll have, okay, so this storyline has three more issues. So maybe after these next three issues.
God, I hope so.
The 156, they wrap up the storyline.
Well, there's something to look forward to for me anyway.
Yeah, let me see. Let me see if they show 157 with Vaughn.
God, I hope so.
It says TBA.
Ooh. So while not confirmation, that may be it.
Maybe.
I don't understand why you solicited something like that far in advance. I think we're talking something that maybe happened last year that they solicited that.
Well, it's also the first time somebody who's not Kirkman has ever written this book, so it is kind of a big deal. It seems weird that they wouldn't have that locked down.
I know. All right. Are you guys ready to move on? Or you guys still want to talk Walking Dead?
No, we're done.
Okay, let's talk something I'm so excited for. Now, I read this Thursday, and I kept pressuring Dave. And eventually, Alex, I think, was sort of putting this off to the finale. But let's talk The Fix number one, writer Nick Spencer, art by Steve Leiber.
No, this is really simple. Tony liked this a lot more than I did.
I liked it. I just wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was about 25 pages too long. And
yeah, it was a little too long.
It was longer than most Image books. That is true.
No, it was literally like 58 pages long. It was longer than most comics.
And considering most Image titles are anywhere between $3 and $3.50, this is advertised as $4.
Yeah, and the thing was, I mean, I got the premise in the first five pages. Good on him. But then he just continued giving me the premise for another 45 pages. And it's like, okay, I get the character now. Do something. Tell me what the story's actually going to be aside from this guy's an asshole, he's a criminal, and he's also a cop.
Well, they kind of give you it to you at the end, but you have to wait until the end to really get it.
Yeah, the direction of the book where they're going, they give you that at least at the end.
Yeah, and they could have cut 15, 20 pages out of this in all honesty. And that, I mean, that's the real reason I didn't like this as much as you, because it just kept fucking going and going and going, and so much fucking text of just characters telling fucking stories and.
Well, I'm also the guy that we've talked about this before when we get around to doing Book of the Week, where I'll often pick comedy books. And considering this is by Nick Spencer, I think I've seen someone describe this and it actually is pretty fitting. This is sort of a rated R version of Superior Foes. I think, Dave, you described it as you like Superior Foes better.
Yeah, I like Superior Foes better.
I had more fun reading that book than this one.
Because this one, at about the three-force waypoint, I started saying, okay, just fucking end this. Like, I'm done with this now. It's,
I had that same feeling, by the way.
It did not hold my interest for its length, and that's why I said he should have cut some pages out of it. That's why I didn't like it as much as you. I got bored.
I think it was not so much the story, it's just the way Spencer works. He's like, I have these jokes that I want to fit in.
Yeah, but you could extend them. You could put them in the next issue. Fuck, split this into two issues. Well, no, yeah. That would have been an even worse idea because I would have got to the same point.
Yeah, it's a really good book, but I can also see how it could not continue this momentum.
Well, the thing that I'm presuming the next issue will be normal, normal.
He's not going to do every issue be 50 some pages. That's not going to happen. Which will be to the book's benefit, I think.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the book is two characters, Roy and Mac. They're two detectives in Los Angeles. It's the Los Angeles Robbery and Homicide Division.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this narrative about how with the arrival of the technological age, it's rough for an average thief these days.
That was my favorite part of the book. Yeah. It was also at the beginning of the book, but.
Identity theft, online scams, and hacks have made your average storefront crook obsolete. Cause, you know, you can't even, steal somebody's phone or watch without them tracking you now.
Oh yeah, my favorite scene was, it's like, he said, you know, that watch only fits me right.
Yeah. They target a nursing home to rob not only the afternoon bingo players, but it's like, low-level retired thug who's, he's told to have a lot of hidden cash in his room by the nurse that Mac is sleeping with.
Yeah, but the thing is, the nurse is like a high schooler. So he's like, well, what she thinks is a lot of money is a nursery what's a lot of money because he had like a bunch of tens and twenties.
Yeah. The thing is, they need the money because they need to repay the local mob boss for whom they work for.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is named Josh. He's a stay-at-home dad, a health nut. He looks like, you know, like a soccer coach for kids. But he's also a cold-blooded psychopath who will make you wish.
So there were instances where he's literally, you know, doing baby talk to his 1 or 2 year old child.
Yeah.
And then he'll talk about, you know, cutting out their taints.
Yeah.
He'll do it like, within the same
like,
breath.
He's like, do I have to cut out your teens? But yeah, they're basically working both sides. You know, they're police, but they're corrupt cops. And they also have like a corrupt, who was that woman? Was she like DA or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, no, she was internal affairs.
Oh yeah, internal affairs. And she was also corrupt. So, as a last chance, the mobster gives them an assignment that could prove to be their final mission, more or less.
Oh yeah. Is it, you know, obviously they want, The mob boss wanted him to smuggle some drugs in through LAX. And they're doing this reveal of the guy. And they cut this wall of a security guy or this officer. And they're building him up as you know, he's incorruptible. And no one's ever gotten drugs past him. And his name is Pretzels. And they cut to the dog.
Yeah, it was funny. That part was funny.
I mean, I'm not going to give away every single joke. But seriously, I think bar none, this is the last, this is, I've never laughed at a comic this hard in so many instances before, so. Contender for book of the week, but we also, this is a week with Vision, so that's something to look forward to if you're still listening to the show. Alright, let's move on to our next book. For Marvel, we have Black Panther number 1, let's see if I can pronounce his name, I'm gonna do my best. Ta-Nehisi Coates, artist Brian Steph Rees.
I didn't really like this book, to be honest.
Neither did I. I read this book and there's some good ideas he was playing with. The idea that he's the monarch of this, you know, this country and the people aren't cool with that. They want sort of a democratic, represented government.
Well, but they don't because they're being influenced.
Well, I'm saying that's a good idea, but when I read this, I kept thinking this reads like a book written by someone who's never written a comic book before.
See, I didn't read it that way. I want to say, I thought the art was great. So big, big thumbs up to the artist. The new designs they came up with for Wakanda stuff.
Oh, I love the thing where he'd have the mask on, the helmet on.
Yeah, and it kind of grows onto his face.
But then the opposite would happen when it would come back and he would still have a bit of a frame patchwork of the mask on the back of his head. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of good art in this. And I think, like you said, the premise is very, very good. I'm not going to drop this after one issue because of that, because I don't think I've read books by or I've read comics by people who wrote books before, and their biggest problem is they tend to be ridiculously wordy. Like, they're not used to working with an artist, so they don't trust the artist.
Yeah, remember when we read books with Carl, I think a couple years back, and we read all those 80s comics. There were several instances where they were describing me what I was seeing, and I'm like, does the writer not realize there's an artist on this book as well?
Yeah, it was just the style, and that's one of the reasons I've never liked Claremont, because he was working with fucking John Byrne, for Christ's sakes, and he's having to explain what's going on. That was ridiculous. This guy doesn't do that. So I don't know if he's read comics before or if they had a really good editor or what, but I mean, he trusted his artist, and maybe the artist led the way a little bit. Yeah, but the main thing was there were a lot of interesting ideas, but the dialogue felt slightly stilted to me. Like, characters talked almost exclusively in speeches. They didn't really have conversations. Some of that was because the characters were giving speeches.
Mm-hmm.
So that part was fine, but then they talked to each other in speeches. And I found that to be really weird. And I don't put that on the blame of him being a novelist. It might just be his style. And I think the writer, in the little bit of research I did to him, he doesn't write like, he doesn't write like fiction novels. He writes nonfiction.
Oh, okay. From what little I think when they did the announcement of they're going to put this guy in this book, I was under the impression that he was just a journalist.
No, he's actually written books, but I mean, he writes books about like black issues,
And that's fine because that's what this book is. So
yeah, book's about an African king. Like that's fine. You made a good choice in this by picking someone who maybe has some understanding, and you know, he did give a good lead into the next issue where this person who is using whatever power she has to influence the people of Wakanda to turn against the king. She's in Nigeria, right on the border with an army, apparently getting ready to invade Wakanda, which is, you know, something, because they already showed earlier in the issue that he has a tenuous grasp over his country now. It was a very well put together comic with everything they did. Like, everything that happened at the end was hinted at the beginning, or at least the problems that would come up were shown at the beginning. My only problem with that is Wakandan army and technology versus fucking Nigeria doesn't really match up.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why she's hoping to turn the Wakanda people against the Black Panther.
Yeah, because she's going to need more help. It's, you know,
and if
the normal army isn't invading.
They also revealed at the end that T'Challa has Shuri's body. Remember, he's trying to.
Yeah, and she didn't look dead.
Well, yeah, but who killed her? It was right before Secret Wars, right? She died.
I don't think it was Thanos, but it was while she was fighting.
It may have been Maximus.
Well, they said it was when she was fighting Thanos's.
The Cabal. There were a bunch of the Cabal.
Somebody in the Cabal killed her.
Yeah. He's trying to bring her back to life.
Yeah, she's not dead yet. He's trying to make sure she's dead.
Go ahead.
It was kept...
No, it looks like he's trying to revive it.
Yeah, but he said he wanted to... when he could speak with her again. And the thing is, he can, you know, he's king of the dead now. He can talk to the dead. He can talk to all the previous Black Panthers. So he could have been talking about bringing her back to life, but he could also be talking about making sure she's dead, because the indication is by her being there, she's not dead, because otherwise he could talk to her. But she's obviously not 100% alive. And also, she didn't really look dead in that little thing they showed of her. So, I don't know if that's like a hint at a Black Panther heel turn. I don't think it is.
No. Because
that wouldn't make any sense.
And why would you read this book if it was that?
The biggest weakness of this book is Black Panther wasn't in it enough.
No, he was not. I was kind of shocked by that too.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was fun. Like, he's talking to like his mom and stuff, who I don't think I quite understand what her position is in the government. She
seems to be more like Supreme Judge, maybe?
Yeah, she has some position of authority, but I didn't quite understand what it was. It's like I said, a lot of interesting ideas, but this book is called Black Panther. Wakanda has to be a big part of that, but make your first issue at least about your title character, primarily. Now, his goal seemed to be to give his title character something to do, which is fine, but you could have done both in the issue. Like, we got more on the shield maiden of the king's mom.
Yeah, that's another thing. Did they retcon that? Has that always been canon with the character?
What, that he has a mom?
That he has two moms, technically.
I'm sure it has been.
I'm sure it's been discussed. I haven't read everything in Black Panther, and I've read none of the early stuff, so.
Okay.
I don't, and also that character and everything he's done has kind of been in flux because it's changed so much. Like, he's only recently been Black Panther again. So it's changed. And also the character in the little we saw, he's completely different here from the way he is in Ultimates, which is the other book he's in.
Mm.
Which is fine. I mean, you would think he'd act more like a king when he's in his kingdom than when he's dealing with, you know, the Ultimates, where he's just a superhero who's smart. So, I'm giving this another shot though, because I think moving.
It wasn't bad enough to where I'm going to drop it cold. It's maybe, yeah, I'll give it one or two more issues before I completely drop it. But
I think he's moving into an interesting way. It might just take him a little bit to fully get his footing on it. Is all I. Because I don't dislike the writing, I question some of the things he did.
I'm like Dave, to where I see the weakness of it, maybe from someone who has written comics before.
And I don't know how much the fact that he has a good grasp on, you know, current day Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that actually plays into this, because Wakanda is so not a realistic African country that I don't think that benefits you that much.
It's nice, and I'm learning from it, but like you said, it doesn't help my enjoyment of the story in any bit.
No, and it's also, you know, if he has an understanding of the way Africa is now, it's not going to help you with Wakanda, because Wakanda doesn't exist.
It's not going to help you tell a better story if you have a better understanding of Africa.
Yeah, well, the most advanced nation on Earth is not in Africa at all. Like, not even close. That's, you know, one of the problems of Africa. So if he explores that, like how Wakanda actually fits into that continent, that would actually be an interesting story, because that's never been done.
A book about Africa at large?
Sort of, but more how it relates to Wakanda, because there's always been this problem with Wakanda where they have so much, and the rest of Africa is so shit.
Well, they sort of explained in the Hickman series, they would have these, you know, these citizens from, they would have these refugees come to Wakanda, and the Black Panther would have to say no to these people about giving them, you know, shelter. Because for whatever reason why, that's the way they chose to rule, and that was the tradition.
Yeah, so maybe you discuss why, and it would explain why another country would want to invade them,
mm-hmm.
because they have so much more than them. You know, it's an interesting story that I don't know if he's going to tell that. I don't even know if he should tell that, because again, that's not a Black Panther story. That's a Wakanda story.
And that's not a Marvel superhero story that you're going to have coincide with, you know, a movie down the line. So
no, it's not. And it might be too serious for it. But the thing is, you brought on this writer for a reason. This isn't a lighthearted, fun writer. So. Why did you do that if you're not going to explore these issues? And we'll wait and see, because we don't know. They might.
So yeah, my final, it's a good story. He's exploring with some good ideas, but like I said, the fundamentals I feel like aren't there for a good book. Alright, let's move on to our next book, which I have very little to say about. Empress Number One, writer Mark Miller, art by Stuart, let's see if I can pronounce this, Eminem.
Mark Miller, in the interview I read, said that his goal with this book is to make a fun sci-fi story, because he doesn't think sci-fi is very fun anymore. I think he succeeded in that. If I had to describe this book in a word, I would say it was fun. But I throw out that term kind of dismissively to mean like, yeah, it was good. You know, the art was good. The
fine book.
The story was fine. It wasn't anything groundbreaking. But well, you know, your setup is
65 million years ago, an advanced civilization existed on Earth.
Yeah, which had, you know, the ability to travel the stars, and they had hyperdrive, and there are aliens living on Earth too. We have no record of this civilization. It's a long time ago in a galaxy we live in.
That's what they should have started out the book. I would have got a chuckle from that.
Actually, and on the same planet we live on.
Yeah. The character, the main character she met what would become the king of, I'm not sure if he's the king of Earth. He's at least the king of this part of Earth.
They gave a name for Earth that wasn't Earth.
Well, because it was 63 million years
ago. Yeah, but I think that was the planet that he is. I think he is the ruler of the planet, I think.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. He's the guy in charge. That's the important part. And he married her, had kids with her, met her when she was filling in for a friend at a bar.
Yeah, she was a waitress.
Yeah, but he's kind of a horrible person. He's like executing people all the time. He yes. executed 3 people in this because... someone was going to, start a riot, and they reported him, but he had them executed because they only reported him.
Yeah, they didn't kill him or anything or beat him up.
Yeah, all they did was report what he did, and therefore he considered they had not done enough to protect the king, so he had them fight a guy riding a T-Rex. He gave him a choice. They could fight him or they could fight a beast. And they chose the beast, of course. And it was a fucking T-Rex. So they're dead. Yeah. And she saw this and decided, okay, I can't live here anymore. We have to leave. One of her kids argued with her because, like, oh, but he's my dad. And she's like, your dad's a fucking murdering tyrant.
Yeah.
We're not staying here.
It was her bodyguard. She has this bodyguard who I guess... he helps her. I don't know why. Maybe he's in love with her. Maybe
he's always been her bodyguard. And yeah. If that was the case, he would have more dedication to her than he would to the king.
Yeah. They steal a ship and head into space, and then they take over one of the giant, was it like a battle star or something?
It was like their big outer space base slash... It was like an aircraft carrier in outer space.
Yeah. And then they head to her sister's place, wherever she lives.
Because he told her, he basically said, if you mention anyone, if you marry me, then everything that came in your life before has to go away. If you mention anyone, they'll be dead. So she never told him about her sister. So she's now going to her sister thinking she'll be safe because he won't be able to find her.
So I guess the sister lives on some other planet, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, space travel exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Stuart Eminem's the artist, and the art was good. And it's still always, I know it's Icon, but it's always weird. Like, you open up this book and you're reading it, and Icon is their creator-owned imprint for Mark Miller and Bendis and no one else. But you're seeing ads for, like, Jupiter's Legacy in the back. And like an interview with Frank Quitely, and I'm like, that's so fucking weird that I'm reading this in a Marvel book and they're advertising an Image book. But you know, that's what Icon is, because you gotta, Mark Miller's gonna sell this and they'll make a movie and it'll probably be fun.
Yeah,
it's a whole goal.
I read this in my walk away of, remember a while back we read Mercury Heat, and your guys' knock on the book was, and rightfully so, it was the most generic sci-fi story ever.
It was also, the art was really bad. We didn't say it was the most generic sci-fi story ever. It was just the character, the lead character, yeah, in that
character we were
was
about.
So unlikable, and she was generic. Because that book had interesting ideas, he just didn't do anything with them.
Well, for me, this was the most generic sci-fi story ever.
I wouldn't go that far, but
I wouldn't say it's the most generic, but it's uninspired at this point, I'd say, but not unenjoyable.
Like, I could see this book being good down the road.
Well, but, it's a mini too.
But when you're opening up with issue one, this is where you want her to hook people in.
How many issues is it?
It might be 12. Okay. Could be less, but it is a mini.
All right. Good enough. All right, let's move on to our next book. Old Man Logan, number 4, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Andre Sorrentino.
Well, they completely flipped the plot in this one, because...
they finally... It's as though, you know, obviously he wrote this way in advance. But it's as though he was responding to all the criticism of this book, though.
No, I don't think it's criticism. It's just that it takes place in the past, and it shows how he got into the X-Men.
Yeah, they're explaining. I mean, what happened was Cap showed him where his body was.
Yeah, in this timeline, he was like telling him, look, this is not your timeline. It's a different timeline.
And which, by the way, is also a hint that they can bring Wolverine back, and then we can have 3 Wolverines.
Yeah, he's alive underneath the adamantium.
Well, he's not necessarily alive, but...
I would love it if Old Man Logan died and trying to revive the younger Logan.
Well, no, they just showed it to him, and since he was dead, they showed him that, you know, this isn't your past.
He kind of gave up killing everybody on his list.
Yeah, because he's like, well, there's no point, because everything, he's like, you know, this place, a lot of things are the same, but, you know, some of it's different, and that's obviously a huge difference. I was never frozen in adamantium and died, so this has to be different, and he didn't know what he was going to do, and then Storm and...
Iceman and...
Iceman, yeah, they showed up. And he was very happy about this. And that apparently explains how he ends up back with the X-Men.
Yeah.
But if he goes back to the X-Men, and there still is some time, there's still a time gap that we haven't crossed yet. If he goes back to the X-Men, this stops being the book it is that we all liked, and it starts being a book where, you know, Wolverine's going on adventures with the X-Men.
It may just get canceled, to be honest.
I don't think it's going to get canceled because it doesn't sell badly.
It just may end because there's no story for him to tell.
Well, I mean, you could still do the story of, you know, that there have been books where, you know, you have X-Men and then characters, Wolverine, in fact, have solo titles because presumably they're doing things when they're not teaming up with the X-Men to fight Magneto or whatever. And you could just continue it that way. There was a finite point to this book. In that he eventually would have killed all those people. And a lot of them were characters they wouldn't have allowed him to kill. So, you know, it was going to have a stopping point sometime, and they would have had to do this. They did it a little earlier than I thought they were. And there's still always the chance this is all Mysterio. By the way, I didn't read the original Old Man Logan story. My question on that is, Wolverine has, like, the super senses.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterio creates illusions. How did he not see through this?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually.
They didn't explain that in one of these issues or something?
Not in this. I imagine they did explain it in the original story, since that's where it all happened. But I'm just saying, like, if he's killing Storm, he would have been able to smell and know it's not Storm. So... I hope they had a...
Maybe he's older and his senses aren't as good. That's the only thing I can think of.
But he was younger when
that's
he killed
right.
the X-Men.
Oh, wow.
So they must have had an explanation.
Maybe
that.
He's from a different universe. His senses aren't as heightened.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be the same. He's just older.
I know. I'm grasping for straws here, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, okay. No, I thought of that when they were in this. Because he's like fighting. They had Kate Bishop and Cap were with him. And he's fighting them, and he's like, no, you're Mysterio, it's an illusion. And I'm like, can't you fucking smell him and know that it's...
Well, this is from a series made by Bendis. You know Bendis didn't think of stuff like that.
He probably did. That's because that's kind of a huge problem.
All right, let's move on to our next book, which I'm glad Dave turned me on to this book because it's amazing again. New Avengers number 7. Writer Al Ewing, art by Gerard Sandoval.
This fucking book.
The American Kaiju!
They were trying to recreate the Super Soldier Serum, and, you know, Thunderbolt Ross is there, and they explain that, you know, we mixed a bunch of shit together. We got gamma rays in this, we got the fucking, we got Connor's, lizard formula, we got all this shit in it, and they shoot it into a soldier.
In particles.
And he ends up, Pym particles. He ends up being Godzilla with an American flag on his chest.
And his
the
belly.
American Kaiju. How does...
And he says USA.
Yeah. All he can say is USA. And he ends up fighting Sunspot's team, which is in a giant robot.
Avenger 5.
Yeah, Avenger 5. It's a giant fucking robot. So this issue is about a giant robot fighting a giant Godzilla who can only say USA and has an American flag. It's just...
I think I tweeted because I saw the American Kaiju. So I tweeted the Kaiju Big Battle people. I'm like, I'm fully expecting Kota Ibushi to show up any minute now.
I retweeted you.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, yeah, you know.
Kaiju Big Battle retweeted that tweet.
Well, it fits.
Good stuff.
No, that was
this
is a silly issue.
Shield showed
up. This?
Shield showed up to retrieve Rick Jones, by the way. Remember, they kidnapped him. And then in the last issue, we also found out Songbird was actually the double agent mole.
Yeah.
She tries to help out Hawkeye. Is that, are you sure you don't want to go back to Shield?
Ooh.
Hawkeye's dedicated, though, because he's not on another Avengers team right now. And this is the only one that's paying.
It's the only one that'll take him.
Although, I don't think he's getting paid. Because they know he's working for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but they told you that right off the bat. I mean, he said, he's like, I'm the mole.
Hey, you know what, though? S.H.I.E.L.D. are the bad guys now. Because of Pleasant Hill. So the new Avengers.
Yeah, they even brought that up in this book. It's like, wait. AIM are the good guys in this book and S.H.I.E.L.D. are the bad guys. Something about this doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah, they didn't really buy that. No, I don't know if this book got better, like, after we stopped reading it.
I don't know. I stopped reading it, so I have no clue.
Yeah, but I thought this was, you know, pretty enjoyable.
Here's the problem. Squirrel Girl, I think, made this book into a joke. I mean, obviously, we're still talking about the Kaiju.
You know, there might be something to that, because I did read the last issue, and I thought once they got rid of some of that dead weight, it got better, and she was in this issue at all. Hulkling and Wiccan were in this one either.
But the thing of it is, Squirrel Girl's like the most over character on this team.
Yeah, but she doesn't fit well on the team.
No, but have you seen how many books she's fucking guest starring in coming up?
Yeah, but
bitches in everything. She's over.
I'm just saying this book wasn't the best fit for her.
Maybe not, but it is. I mean, this was an issue where USA Godzilla was fighting a giant fucking robot. If you're going to put Squirrel Girl in a fucking Avengers team, it should probably be this one.
Yeah.
Because it's so wacky.
There is a
storyline reason why she's not on the team. They explained it in the front page, which I didn't really read. But
it happened in the last issue.
So I think this storyline is going to continue go on for a while. So for the foreseeable,
I don't know how long this.
No, it won't go for that much longer because
it'll go for another issue.
Yeah, it'll go or one or two tops because remember this is all part of the crossover.
I want to see Ultraman fight Godzilla. I'm reading the next issue.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. All right, let's move on to our next book, Scarlet Witch #5, writer James Robinson, art by Marguerite Sauvage.
By the way,
read rather quickly, to be honest.
Did you notice who did the art for this?
Yes.
The guy who did the She-Hulk run that we stopped reading because of the art.
The lady?
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
The art?
Did not like the art at all.
I actually kind of liked the art. It wasn't
good, but I didn't think it was bad enough to where I'm like, I'm not reading this.
The eyes were better. My bigger problem with this is who didn't fucking tell the artist that her costume changed? Because tits all over this book.
Yeah, what happened to the new costume?
Her new costume, which I kept putting over, which I told you guys my wife didn't like. She liked the old costume better. They suddenly went back to the old costume with no explanation. Unless it was because she was hanging around nuns.
She wanted to piss them off?
And they just wanted the dichotomy between the...
Oh, the witch and...
Yeah, the Scarlet Witch with her tits hanging out and the nuns.
Maybe.
Now this issue did a weird thing where a large
she's like Ghostbustering in this issue.
Yeah, it was large numbers of pages without any text. And
but they explained why.
Yeah, but then after they explained what happened. So what I did was, after I read it, I flipped back, I looked at the pages again, I go, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Cause it looked like she was fighting fucking zombies and shit. So what happened was there was this nunnery in Spain that, during the Spanish Inquisition, because they couldn't talk, that they had a vow of silence. They couldn't defend themselves against being accused of being witches, and they all got killed. Well, one of the women, they were not witches. They pointed this out. One of the women, stuck around as like a ghost, an angry ghost.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
You should have had that queued up earlier. And then, yeah, there were brief bits of them talking about how horrible the Inquisition was and how it was a dark moment in the church and blah, 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 blah. But, this angry ghost was around, and her anger also kept the ghosts of the, all the other.
Yeah, the inquisitors and.
Yeah, all the other witches, all the other nuns and the inquisitors were all kept down there. Now the inquisitors apparently came back as fucking zombie monsters that Scarlet Witch had to kill. The nuns, she just like released their souls or whatever. And then it had a, you know, happy little ending where they didn't bury religion. And, you know, it was a very safe issue to do. And then it ended. And I hope she has her new costume back in the next issue, because.
You know, that was probably the best thing that came out of the movies. The costume improved.
The costume changed.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Her costume's fine and everything the way it was. It's just, if you want me to take that character seriously, you gotta cover the tits up. Cause I can't take you seriously like that.
Or at least reveal less.
Yeah. And this issue did not reveal less. It was very noticeable in every page. And I'm like, well, maybe they're trying to up sales.
There you go. Although if you want to upsell, put Marco Rudy back on the book. That guy's amazing.
Well, this book seems to have a different artist for every story, which works out sometimes and doesn't work out other times. I thought it was fine in this. I honestly didn't mind the art. I did have this thing where every time he had to draw somebody head on, I had to stare at the eyes, and I'm like, well, they're not fucking crooked.
I still can't believe that went out. Like, no one thought to double check that.
He just draws weird eyes, man. I know what he's doing now, though, because I saw it more in this issue. He's giving them big eyes so they're more expressive. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, anime.
Anime?
He's probably giving them a big mouth, though, because they do that, too.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing, though. Because the eyes of the characters, they are expressive. The problem in She-Hulk was she looked fucking deranged.
She looked derpy.
Yeah, like she had derpy eyes. And it didn't work. But, you know, this was fine.
Okay, next book, Spider-Man number 3, writer Brian Michael Bendis, art by Sarah Pichelli.
Guest starring Kamala Khan.
Yay!
And Miles' grandma and Gold Balls and Bombshell.
Yeah, Gold Balls came back, and that was so funny when, like, they, you know, his teacher asks him, like, oh, does anyone know what a mutant is? And they talk about it. It's because Gold Balls is going to school there. And Yankees mark it out, and I'm like, this is so fake. No one gives a shit about Gold Balls. His name is Gold Balls. Come on. Yeah, and he's in high school now.
Miles' grandma caused a ruckus, accusing him of being drugs. I'm being on drugs.
She kept talking about the drugs. She stole his cell phone because he uses it to call drug dealers. And when girls showed up to the house, she wouldn't let her come in. Yeah, because she assumed that she was a drug dealer.
He's like, so you're trying to give him, push him LSD or something. He's like, I gotta Google that.
She had to Google what LSD was. She asked him at one point if he was selling the pot, which is my favorite old lady thing. Cause when I was younger, there's a kid I was friends with. He used to go over to his house. He lived with his grandparents. And his mom's like, oh, you guys can't, or his grandma's like, you guys can't go down there. That's where they sell the drugs. And for some reason, putting the in front of a noun.
It's funny how she didn't know what LSD was, because how far back does LSD go?
Well, she's like 16. 16-year-olds don't know shit now, man. Unless they see it on YouTube.
She might be 14, 15. I don't even know how old Miles is now. Mm-hmm. Miles, last I checked, was 14, but he might be 15 or 16.
Are they trying to hook him and Kamala up?
I didn't get that vibe.
I think it's one of those things to where naturally you just assume when members of the opposite sex of that age are buddy-buddy with each other, you assume that's where we're going. But like,
is pretty dedicated to her superheroing.
With that said, I wouldn't be surprised if something winds up happening because of this.
They do have stuff in common because, you know, the thing with the grandma, and he's talking about, well, my dad, you know, he does this in two different languages, and, you know, she doesn't have that thing with somebody like Nova because Nova's dad is a fucking superhero.
Dad doesn't like the grandma because brought up his imprisoned brother. And
so the brother isn't dead like he was in the but then again, you know, that would change because the Secret Wars changed it. Yeah, no, I mean, Secret Wars literally.
He's in jail.
So what was the motive? So now, like, they got to redo his origin because...
No, they'll get to it eventually, I'm sure.
Although, you know what? I do prefer this version of Miles to the last one.
I do too, but he's not as much in the shadow of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Because he's kept, except for that last issue where Peter Parker's in it, he is kept very separate. It's very clear that he's a teenager. It's very clear he has different issues. He has a completely different family. It's very different. Whereas before, since he was directly following, he was replacing Peter Parker as Spider-Man, you always wanted to complain it and, like, you know, fucking Aunt May and Gwen Stacy are in every issue. Mary Jane's still in the comic. They've taken all that away. He's got a completely separate cast. So that helps. And it.
Although
it,
I don't know if Gold Balls is necessarily the solution to that.
God, fucking Gold Balls. Of all the characters to bring in.
I'm like, he wasn't over then, and he's not over now. Stop.
Well, at least trying something new.
But hey, Bendis realized, hey, they're not using any of those new characters I created anymore. They all disappeared. Who's the best one I made? Time Stopping Girl? No, let's bring Gold Balls in.
Because Gold Balls.
Which was a joke name. Like, he made fun of his own name.
Maybe he'll change his name now in this book and do other stuff.
But that's his power. He makes
Diamond
Gold Balls.
Ball.
They're not diamond, though.
Secondary mutation, dude.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There you go.
Or, well, actually, you got Secret Wars. They can change his power slightly.
Well, no, but they already called him Gold Balls. No.
They had one chance and they ruined it.
Did we ever figure out exactly what he could do? Like,
you could generate Gold Balls.
Shot Gold Balls out. Is he like Speedball? I don't understand. No. Like, it's like he made gold looking. Were they energy based? Were they like bowling balls?
I think they were like physical balls that
they bounced. I think. So he made gold bouncy balls. That's the worst power.
Are they big balls?
This wasn't a bad issue, but I just keep talking about Gold Balls because I'm fucking flabbergasted that Bendis brought this character in.
He wants that character to get so over. He wants him in a movie or something. You could tell.
By the way, there's other stuff going on in this issue with Black Cat. She has a hit out on Spider-Man.
I thought this was the best Black Cat has come off since they started this new push of her. Like, she actually came off somewhat threatening here.
Well, yeah, because she specifically brought up, you know, all the people that have come and gone over the years, the Magi, Kingpin, Negative Man. She said that, you know, that she's the only one that seems like it's going to stick around.
Yeah, but the thing is, she was never the fucking leader of crime before. Like,
yeah, but I think that's what they're trying to do now.
She was also a good guy. Well, no, that is what they're trying to do. Yeah. But I'm saying her using that argument is stupid. Like, you haven't taken over crime in the city yet, so who gives it? Like, Tombstone's still there. Hammerhead's still there. They were criminals.
Yeah, but they were low-level guys.
Tombstone is higher.
Tombstone wasn't. He ran a pretty big crew there. Silvermane's still around, I think. He's ahead, but he's ahead. He's probably still around.
In that little RC car.
She probably forgot how many fucking crime bosses there have been in Marvel. All of them in New York, the epicenter of crime in the world. That was a good issue, though. He's right. Miles worked. Him and Kamala were cute. She's making fun of him for being grounded. And she knows his secret identity, but she won't tell him hers.
Yeah, she don't tell anybody's fucking secret identity.
Because she knows more about superheroes than all of them.
Yeah.
Because you don't give out your secret identity and like that. Miles is fucking stupid.
One thing I liked about this book, and it sort of addressed what I've always thought about teen superheroes. He's all, you know, why do I need to go to school? I'm Spider-Man. I don't need to learn anything at school.
Yeah. He's like, I'll just move in with the Avengers. Be a superhero 24/7. Because he's all pissed off because she's yelling at him about his grades, but his dad didn't back him up. His dad knows he's Spider-Man. He's like, how the fuck am I supposed to save the city 10 times a week and then I have to get A's? That's impossible. I can't do that. She doesn't understand, but he can't tell her. Because he said if he told her, she'd probably out him.
No, she said the mom would have a heart attack, and then I forget what the grandma.
The grandma would out him.
Yeah, she'd
tell everyone he's Spider-Man, teach him a lesson.
I like how that's you teach him a lesson.
Yeah, well.
All right, speaking of Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2099, issue 9, writer Peter David, art by Will Silney.
Yeah, I thought we were getting back to Miguel being, like, calmer.
Nope.
Since he found out she was lying, but nope, he damn near killed somebody.
Well, in this issue, he sort of
rationalizes moved. Why the fuck he beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, but he beat the shit out of him. He almost killed him.
But he recognized that you know, he flew off the handle, and I think he sort of just blew up, and then he realized, I think he's calmed down going forward.
Well, I don't think he has, because I think this is a character trait of his now. Like, because you have to differentiate him from Spider-Man, and while they have very different costumes.
You know what he is now? He's like Superior Spider-Man now. Except not as smart.
Yeah, a little bit. I can see that.
Yeah, because he gets angry, and he kind of flies off the handle, and that's bad when you have super strength.
For me, I read this, and it seemed like he was peaking as far as anger. He recognized that he had an anger problem, and he's trying to do something about it now.
Well, I mean, that also wasn't a huge focus of the issue. I mean, it did happen, and it was like, ooh, that's kind of fucked up, but he recognized it was kind of fucked up, so.
That's why I say this may be the peak.
He did the fucking Rorschach thing to the guy. Man, Marco, he's like, where's this woman? And he won't tell him, so he starts snapping his fingers, and I'm like, come on, dude,
he recognized it. I'm like, he's a thug. He's gonna tell, you know, he's gonna tell lies until he dies.
Yeah, what's shock?
They explained why the mom was doing the shit she was doing. Apparently the mom has superpowers of some sort.
Yeah, okay. So the reason the mom wanted Miguel away from her daughter is because the mom has superpowers that only come out when she has, like, really bad emotional feelings. And she's worried her daughter would have that. She ended up killing her
second husband.
Her second husband because he hid cameras all over the place, was taking nudie pictures of young Tempest. So he's a pedo, like one of my drivers at work. I recently found out. It's kind of disturbing. No, but he's a pedo, and she got angry, as you would, and killed him on accident. So she was worried that, like, if she's dating Miguel and they get married and stuff and then they get in a fight, she'll kill Miguel. So she was protecting him. But she also has a sad backstory now.
Yeah. They also showed stuff with the Fist because, you know, he's like, oh, man, I thought the Fist was bad. Well, they showed the Fist recruiting Gloriana because remember she was the one who turned into Inhuman in the last issue.
Which I completely forgot and had to look up the character online, and the only thing I got was the issue of Spider-Man 29.
It was either last issue or the issue before.
By the way, you said fire, I said gold. Bitch looked gold, but she was in the snow, so.
Yeah, they're recruiting her for what? I have no clue. We don't know who these guys are yet.
Well, they're bad guys.
Well, yes, obviously bad guys, but we don't know what the motive is. And
that's all you need. Kill Spider-Man.
Black Cat, that's her.
Yeah, she wants to kill him. I don't know why.
She still has a grudge because of Superior Spider-Man.
Right, because he beat the shit out of her?
Yeah, and then when it was regular Spider-Man, she still didn't care that it was Doc Ock. And now that it's a different Spider-Man, she still has a grudge against Miles. Because
and she acknowledges that, you know, she knew it was Doc Ock, but she still has the grudge.
Yeah.
She must kill all Spider-Man. Although she's perfectly fine with Silk.
No, there was, remember she worked with, Silk was working for her, but it was like, undercover.
Yeah, but isn't she still working with Silk?
No.
Who knows? We don't read Silk.
And we don't read Spider-Woman. That came out this week and we said we're gonna read it. Made it halfway through and I'm like, I'm not reading this.
Yeah, that's cause I misread it. I thought it was would be more about Spider-Woman and I really like that book, but it doesn't have the same artist or the same writer.
Yeah, so I'm like why am I having to sell you on Spider-Woman? This is the book that you sold me on. And then I saw the title, I was like, oh, it's that crossover Spider-Woman. Yeah, let's not read this.
Yeah, like I don't care about Silk and like Gwen Stacy's okay, but you know, Spider-Woman's the only one I like right now.
Yeah.
So, and she shouldn't be doing superhero shit, by the way, because she's got a fucking kid at home.
Well, that's what they brought up in this issue, but it was like a lot of, it was the stuff that they've been doing before with Porcupine taking care of the child. Okay. I was like, oh, that's
fucking Porcupine.
Yeah, I know, that's great. I think she was threatening, she's like, if you mess up anything with my child, I forget if it's a boy or a girl. It's like,
you know, Jack couldn't say Porcupine until he was 5. He used to call him Porcupines.
That's hilarious.
Also called Elephants Ella Trunks.
Yeah, I wish you could have had a recording of that. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, he was a lot cuter before he could speak English properly.
Isn't that the thing with kids?
Yeah, he's still cute, but, you know.
Yeah, I know.
He calls things by their correct. He can't say similar. He says forget what he says. Simular?
Well, that is a complex word for what, a 4-year-old?
Dude, he reads at a 4th grade level according to a school test.
Ooh, nice.
My kid's a fucking genius.
Well, because you read all those comics.
I know. I hope he makes me some money in the future. Like he invents a computer thing or a watch with an eye in front. I don't fucking know.
All right, so moving on to our next book, Star Wars Poe Dameron #1, writer Charles Soule, artist Phil Noto.
This is good. It should have been Lightning Round, though.
Yeah, it was a prequel to The Force Awakens, more or less.
Yeah, Poe is the galaxy's greatest pilot, and Leia recruited him for her ill-defined resistance against the First Order, and send him to get
some guy who's like, the explorer to find out the whereabouts of Luke Skywalker.
Who was the dude who was killed in the opening of the movie, right?
I think that's the same guy, yeah.
The old man who seemed really important, but we never found out shit about him?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but that means Poe succeeds in his mission.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not until the movie, though, and he almost dies. But no, this is a lot of him flying around. He puts a team together. We don't know any of these characters, but some of them are old, some of them are young, and he puts a team together, a Black Ops team, to go complete this mission.
I thought this was a great book. This is one of the few.
It was good.
This is one of the few Star Wars books going forward that if we pick this up, we can continue reading. I'd be cool with.
Well, it's not going to be a continuing series.
No, obviously, because it's going to have to end with the guy dying after he retrieves it.
Yeah, they could only reveal so much because I don't think the Disney's going to let them spoil stuff that's probably going to be.
And
in
then
the movie.
The little backup in the end was funny.
Oh yeah, that was Chrysalopoulos, the best letterer in comics, but he could also draw little cartoons, and he drew a cute little cartoon about BB-8 helping a dude find love.
Aww.
Yeah, it was just a cute little story. It had no bearing on anything.
No, but it was just an excuse to tell a really cute story.
Yeah. So this was good. Okay. Keep reading it. Won't have a lot to say about it, I don't think.
Okay, another good story, Vision issue 6, writer Tom King, art by Gabriel Hernandez Walta.
This issue fucking ruled. So they found out that a dog, like a neighbor's dog, digs up Grim Reaper's body, and Vision finds out about it. And we didn't see this, we saw the after effects. But Vision fucking apparently went apeshit and destroyed the house when he found out.
Yes.
Just completely fucking tore it up. Vision, the whole wraparound in this book is this text explaining that there are P problems and NP problems.
Yes.
In computer terms. And P problems are like simple things that can be solved, like a multiplication problem. NP are problems that cannot be easily solved or cannot be solved at all by a computer. And they explain that Vision's problem was an NP problem.
This is all being narrated by Agatha Harkness, by the way.
Yes, because of something that happens at the end. Agatha Harkness, of course, would be the one because she is a part of Scarlet Witch's character now, and Scarlet Witch was formerly married to Vision. So they're bringing the new shit in with the old shit, but so she's narrating all this. Vision incredibly his NP problem is making his family happy.
Yes.
Pretty much. That's his problem. His family is fundamentally fucked because they're robots. But he wants to make them happy. Vision takes his fucking dog, cuts its brain out.
by the way, the dog
was... Well, the dog was dead. The dog was dead because the dog bit Grim Reaper's scythe thing, which electrocuted him and the dog died. So he took the brain out of the dog and put it in a robot dog to make for his kids because he thought it would make them happy. Because they were pretty depressed after they found out their mom was a murderer and he destroyed their fucking house. This book is so creepy. The guy who lost the dog comes over to the house just basically saying, hey, if you see the dog, let me know. And she's walking him through the house because she had to return the cookie sheet because I guess him or his wife brought him cookies at some point.
Yeah, she remember they had him over like in one of like the first issue or
– Yeah, and I think, she showed him all the weird shit in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know it was the same guy, but she still has the cookie sheet and she wanted to return it to him. But she's walking him through the house and the house is completely fucking destroyed. Like every inch of this house has been fucking tore up and she tells him, oh, well, you know, I read that when you're redecorating, you have to, you know, you have to tear stuff down to put it back in. So that's what we're doing. And then they go out to the back and the back's all dug up and stuff. He's like, oh, are you putting in a pool? And she kind of looks around. She's like, yeah, we're putting in a pool. But really the back was all dug up because they had digged the fucking body out. But the last page is Agatha Harkness is there. We find out she's the narrator and she tells all the superheroes, pretty much every Avenger, and there's some X-Men there too. He wants to make his family happy, and to do it, he's going to kill everyone, all of you, and he's going to raise the Earth. And then the issue ends. Now, this did confirm, like, my original thing was, well, Vision's eventually gonna basically turn his family off, and that's gonna be his heel turn. That is definitely not where they're going right now.
Nope.
Because Vision is 100% in. He wants his family to be happy. He's going to do whatever he can to make his family happy. No matter how fucking creepy it is. This is the best book Marvel is publishing.
Yeah, far and away. Like, God bless everything else. Jeff Lemire is really good on Old Man Logan.
No, far and away. A lot of books are good. This is better than every other comic they're publishing by a lot.
It should win an award this year, by the way. It should.
Yeah, and
it is winning an award. It's called He Gets to Write Batman Now.
It's 12 issues, right? That's the...
Yeah, it's only...
Yes.
Okay, I am now... Previously, I'd said, you know, oh, that sucks. This is the best book Marvel publishes. After this issue, I decided I'm really happy that it's only 12 issues. Because 12 issues means I'm gonna get a resolution to this story. And it's not going to be followed after that. It's going to be a year run of fucking every issue is going to be great. And then it's going to end. And that's 100% fine. I have no issue with that. This book is fantastic. If you are not reading this, you should not read comics.
We're not friends.
You're also comics.
Unless you know, there's not a lot of punching in this book, so if that's what you're a fan of, then no.
No, Hugger does not approve.
You know, he doesn't like the art in this book?
Does he read this book? I didn't think he read it.
Yeah, he read the first issue and he kept burying the art. He buried the art for like 2 months. The is there something wrong with the art in this?
The
that
art
I'm not
isn't
seeing?
Great, but it's not offensive to where I'm going to put it down.
I think it fits the story to me.
It fits the story great. He gets emotion out of robots.
Well, they're synthesoids, so they're, you know, they're humans, so he's got that on his side.
Humanish. Fair.
Yeah. All right. Let's round out this week's books with a book from Valiant. Ninjak 14, writer Matt Kent, art by Diego Bernard.
I forgot to read this.
Shame on you. Alex, what did you remember this? This is Ninjak.
Oh, yeah. Ninjak was really good. They started a new storyline to get him away from fucking Shadow Man stuff, and it completely changed everything. So someone is working against Ninjak, has destroyed his castle, has stolen all his money, has turned MI6 against him. Everything's going to shit. His only friend was Livewire, who created a new identity for him, but couldn't do much else.
Yeah.
Ninjak is a complete badass all through the entire issue. There's some dude, he finds out he's following him, and Ninjak doesn't need his fucking, all his equipment to beat some ass. So he beats some ass. And we gotta find out who's fucking Ninjak over, what he's gonna do to fix it. He has no resources. Can't rely on Neville anymore. Nothing. This is a fucking great story to tell.
My favorite part of the story is when he shows the MI6 and he's wearing a K t-shirt.
Yeah, he says t-shirt has K on it. And when they pull him up, cause he's like, come on, I gotta meet with Neville. And they're like, do you have an appointment? And he's like, I'm an old friend of his, so they run his name, and they're like, you're on our 10 most wanted list. You're at the top of it. And he's like, oh, shit. He ends up having to jump out a window.
Yeah. So good book. New storyline, new jumping on point. They solicit this ass, so.
Yeah, because you don't really need to know a lot to understand what's going on in this. Like, you know he has a costume and fancy tech and a lot of money, and you know all that's gone. That's all you need to know, and the story works. This is good.
Yeah, good stuff from Valiant yet again. All right, let's move on to our next segment, Book of the Week. Everything is awesome.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Vision.
Vision.
Damn it. I'm going to go with the fix.
My second pick was Sheriff of Babylon.
That was my second pick as well.
I kept telling you guys, I mean, you guys are going to love it. It's going to be easy, your pick for the week, but oh well.
Really liked Vision.
All right. Let's talk next week's books. Wherever you go, whatever. Spite.
Hey, let me just say, during some point during the show, I finished reading Providence.
Wow, this is a lot about your multitasking abilities.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
What happened?
And I understood they walked through the Dreamlands.
Yeah, Dream World.
Yeah, which was actually kind of interesting. They really got into what was involved in it and the different layers, and it was an interesting story, and I think it was an excuse for the artist to do some, you know, more than just draw old-timey buildings.
He met Lovecraft in the issue, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they mentioned Lovecraft.
And he met him.
Yeah, and he kind of talked shit about him earlier in the issue, too. So that was kind of like, they kind of buried his writing. Like, yeah, he's got some good ideas, but he's not a very good writer.
Yeah, he's not the guy who he was talking to.
Yeah. Which by the way, is accurate of Lovecraft. Like, he had really good ideas, but he technically wasn't the best writer. Also a huge racist, but you know, whatever.
Can't win them all.
Yeah. It was a pretty good issue. So next week's books.
Let's pull up comic lists.
We have New Romancer number 5 of 6. It's almost over. Slash and Burn number 6. which
that's the conclusion.
Yeah, except it doesn't have a of six.
Well, it says of six in the book.
Does it?
Oh no, never mind. Well, it says of six of the storyline, so I don't know if it is continuing. Ending.
This is the one. Oh, I also wanted to mention there was a Grant Morrison Wonder Woman graphic novel that we completely missed.
No, I knew it came out, but I'm like, I'm not reading this graphic novel. And on top of it, I'm not a huge Grant Morrison fan, so.
Fat Man has this weird, hate of graphic novels because he read a bad graphic novel.
No, here's the thing. It just takes a long time to read. And considering we read like 20 some odd books this week, I'm not squeezing in time to read a graphic novel too.
Whereas I would have dropped like 5 of these books to read a Grant Morrison book, but I'll read it later.
I assume
now.
You knew, and that was my mistake.
No, I would have put it on the list. Okay, so Numeromancer.
You want to do a special show, or do you want to try to fit that in next week?
No. I don't want to do a special show. Hurry. Okay, I'm fucking going, dude. It takes time.
You can hang up, and we'll talk to you later, Dave.
Black Road number 1, that's the new Brian Wood, the Northlanders style book.
Okay, well, whatever, let's read that.
It is class of 20. Peter Circle's returning.
Is it?
506. That's not Legacy Circle.
Oh, Legacy?
That's the one we stopped reading.
Well, I kept reading it, and I think Fat Man kept reading
it. Wait, is that the one it's the prequel one?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to read that.
Okay. Monstrous number 5.
Starve
number 8. That's coming out a lot. Apparently he's working on it. A-Force number 4.
Just barely.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a tie-in.
I'm not going to read that.
You didn't read New Avengers, the last one. Because
that had the American Kaiju.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No, I did, because Fat Man talked about it.
I read it.
All new, all different Avengers number 8.
That's also a crossover.
Okay, well, we read that anyway. That's all good. New Inhumans number 6. All new X-Men number 8. Amazing Spider-Man number 10.
Going awfully fast, but I got it all.
Captain America's 75th Anniversary Magazine number 1.
What is that? Magazine? Is that just a bunch of reprints?
Let me look.
I investigate this because this doesn't sound legit.
Well, it costs $10.
But I don't think it's a real comic book.
Celebrate the birthday, all new, all free. Well, it says it's free, but it says, okay, this is something weird. So, yeah, we're not reading that. Darth Vader 19. Do we want to read Gwenpool number 1?
I'm not reading it.
I'll read it. I'll give it a try.
All right, put it on. I'll read it.
Hercules, that's the last
issue. Hercules number 6, last issue.
I think this Illuminati issue is a crossover to,
Well, we're still reading it, so that's fine.
Yes, it's a tie-in.
Illuminati number 6. Moon Knight number 1. Jeff Lemire's $5, you fuckers.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
Why is it $5?
Because it's Jeff Lemire, Ryan Moon Knight, and the art's gonna be really good.
Silver Surfer number 3. We stopped reading Spider Quinn. Do we want to read the C-3PO Star Wars special? The one that reveals why he has a red arm?
Oh, I'll read it just for that.
For the red arm. That's the draw.
We made fun of that, by the way. Like, oh, everybody's going to read that for the red arm day. Apparently we are going
to
read
you guys,
that.
I buried you guys for wanting to read it because of that. And you're like, we got we got the red arm.
Well, at least we'll find something out. And Archer and Armstrong number 2. And Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 6.
Aren't we still reading Web Warriors? That's also coming out.
Oh, yeah, we're reading that.
I didn't see it. That's my bad. I missed it. Web Warriors. Mm-hmm. Number 6.
Also, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
You said
that. I said that. Aha. Yeah, I only missed one book.
Aha. Now who's not listening?
How many books is that?
That is a listy. I'll do a little thing where... I included all the fringe books that you brought up, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's see how this comes out, too. 22.
Okay.
So okay. You can elect to not read some of these.
Will do.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this week's show, then. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.
Bye. Peace.